Now, the album, Fiji Baby, which is our great New Zealand album today, was released back in 2004 and was the second one from New Zealand four-piece alternative pop rock band Good Shirt. And so this week we're featuring Fiji Baby as our great New Zealand album, and band member Rodney Fisher is entering the studio as I speak. But I can't help noticing he's on a pair of crutches, so it may take him more than 5 seconds to get to the microphone and be able to say hello to us. I feel guilty for bringing you in here. Good afternoon.
Oh, that's generally the response when you see some cripple like myself.
Did you do something injurious to yourself?
It's pretty exciting. Well, it's not really. I slipped over on bubble mixture. You know those big wands of bubble mixture you see in the $2 shops?
Yeah.
I think my son just emptied one of those out in the hallway, you know.
No.
It's kind of like slipping on ice or something like that.
I've just had a mental picture of you going over, actually. That would have been a very fast descent as well.
Yeah.
Lovely to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's nice to think about Good Shirt and
good times.
Those times, yeah.
When did Good Shirt get... It was back in around about 2000, wasn't it, when Good Shirt got together? Would that be the era?
I think we technically traced it back to 1998.
Oh, really? Even earlier?
Yeah, that's when we probably started kind of hanging out more and writing songs again. And because we all we kind of grew out of a covers band called the Trouser Weasels back in, and we used to play four nights a week, I think, at Murphy's Irish Bar at the time. And that was kind of, we totally burnt ourselves out doing that for like 4 years or something like that, but also fell in love with great pop songs and songwriting again, and wanted to be playing our own music rather than...
It would have been a great apprenticeship actually doing that, wouldn't it?
It was, and I actually look back at it and I actually think it's the best thing anyone can do. And if you want to be a full-time musician and you're starting out, sometimes having a secret persona and playing every night in a local pub is the best thing you could do, you know?
There were three of you originally, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't think Mike wasn't originally in the band. He's the drummer, and he was also in that Irish covers band-ish thing that we had going.
You didn't really have a bass player at the start, or am I wrong?
We never did.
No.
We managed to...
You doubled up on... Who was it doubled up on bass?
People used to think my brother was playing the bass because they couldn't see it coming from somewhere, but he is playing the guitar. But the keyboard, left-hand side of the keys, was always playing the bass.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Ah, mystery solved.
Yeah.
Mystery solved. Rodney Fisher's with us. It was exciting in Auckland, wasn't it, when you formed and started getting radio play? That must have been great as well.
Yeah, it was awesome to have been a part of that little change of focus, I guess.
Well, I think you were packing out the King's Arms on the strength of one single being played on BFM, that kind of.
Yep.
It was that era, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I've actually got a little Best New Act from the Beanie Awards, which I look back and
a little trophy.
A little trophy, yeah.
A little trophy.
Which I always think about that time of when you're first starting out and you're just buzzing about having your song on the radio. It was really awesome.
I know. I once remember reading Simon and Garfunkel talking about that and the thrill they had. Were there many venues you could play?
I don't really remember playing anywhere else except for the King's Arms.
Right, okay.
You had it must have been... the King's Arms, the Dog's Bollocks. Yeah, it was a bit sparse.
You had to make your own fortunes then in those days. You kind of had to find your audience, didn't you?
Mm. Yeah, and that was... I think it's still the same now, really, if not even more so, with so much competition with the streaming world and trying to kind of step out in front of that. You've really got to present yourself in a way that's unique to be able to cut through.
I know, it's daunting. It sounds daunting to me to do it. But you were a good band right from the start in terms of the songs you had, but budgets would have constrained you because you were making videos on film for $5,000, weren't you?
Yeah, and that is something that was ended up being the... That process of having that limitation is what kind of created those ideas which was, we've got enough film. If we wanted it on 16mm film, we could afford to do two cycles of the song. So we wanted to do them in one-shot ideas, and that was what the first album was all about.
There's
those one-shot videos.
There's that great video for Sophie, yeah, which is a one-shot, basically a one-shot video, isn't it?
Yeah, it is one-shot.
Sophie listening to the song and you guys in the background taking everything out of the flats.
Yeah.
Stealing the furniture. But Good Shirt, you know, grew. You got to go to Japan. You became international, didn't you? In a sense, you got to go to Japan, I think.
We did. That's my best OE experience, going to Japan.
Did they love you over there?
Yeah, it was awesome. And we got looked after really well, which is amazing. That's something to do with the culture, I guess, of hosting a band. But it was better than anywhere else in the world.
And you had to turn down, sadly, a chance to open in London for Modest Mouse because you simply couldn't afford to go. Is that the story?
Well, the story kind of goes, I don't know. You're getting some top information there. You've got
top researchers.
Top researchers.
16 of them.
Yeah, that was kind of at the point where we ended up taking our long kind of break, and we'd kind of reached a wall of run out of money, not living in the UK, probably needed to be living in the UK to be able to take a lot of the opportunities that were coming our way, but we'd just exhausted all of our finances, and we'd also exhausted our ability to spend time with each other that intensely.
You've never really broken up, though, have you?
No, we've never really broken up, so there's always the... every now and then we do like a little show somewhere or something pops up which, you know, out of the woodwork that we've got some song and it's getting a license somewhere or something. But we've all been songwriters and artists, I guess, constantly over the whole period that we've been out of that limelight. So I guess there's the potential for it to always come back again as well. It's like we haven't just stopped being creators. We've just sort of haven't been able to make it work together in that particular unit.
And there's always a demand, I think, out there in the public mind for you to come back. Reunions would be popular, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think so.
I fantasize about it.
And there were the gigs with Ice House and Hall & Oates. You had some great days, as well as the trophy.
Yeah.
You had some great days, didn't you?
Yeah, it was awesome.
How long was the band officially together?
Oh, we're still together.
Yeah, sorry, but you know what I mean.
That was about 2005, I think we kind of eased it back there. I think that was about right.
This album that we're playing today soared up the charts for you. Before we start playing the tracks, though, a couple more things. Mm. What are you doing mostly these days? What occupies you, Rodney?
Musically, I've got a project called Beach Blue, which is more of a pop kind of project, which I've been working on. I've got a bit of radio play over in the States and some Spotify streams and that kind of thing. And that's with a guy called Nick Brinkman, who lives in Wellington.
Yeah.
And I've also do gigs under the name Mixed Veg, which is my solo kind of producing stuff. And
that's on YouTube, isn't it? I've seen something of yours.
Yeah, it was a few. It's on YouTube. Yeah, and the day job is really working in the music industry side of things more at the New Zealand Music Commission.
Right. So you're happy in your work?
Hmm. And still all music. It's all about the music still.
What are you proudest of? This is the regulation question. What are you proudest of looking back on your achievements with the band that's still going?
Proudest of?
Or maybe the moment that instantly springs to mind when I ask you that question.
I'm not sure whether there's one defining moment, but I feel like it's got to be those things when the crowd knows your song almost better than you do and are singing it back to you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really that kind of beats that kind of mass of people all in tune with that moment together. And that happened a few times, so that was kind of cool. It used to always be, I don't know why, but Wellington used to always treat us really, really well when we... in terms of that crowd kind of participation and really getting into things.
Yeah, Wellington got you.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Wellington at the Indigo. It would have been one of those shows.
So very nice of you to come in and introduce the album for it for us. We're about to play the tracks, Fiji Baby. When we went to Hamilton, I said, let's pretend it's Fiji. Hamilton does have many delights, though. The gardens, for one thing, and the Tamaheri Market. There's a lot to do and see in Hamilton.
Yeah, but maybe not quite as much sunbathing.
We know what tracks you want us to play, so they're on the way. Hey, thank you. Real pleasure catching up with you, Rodney Fisher.
Thank you for having me.